What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton, going to be joined by co-host Wes Goldberg in just a minute. The Dubs lose another frustrating one, one that they probably should have won, to the Memphis Grizzlies. A lot of bad coming out of that game. A few good things, too, though. We're going to talk about all of it here. Coming up next on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got co-host Wes Goldberg joining us in just a minute. Dubs lost a tough one to the Memphis Grizzlies, even after getting the most complete roster back that they've had all year. Matching up against another bad team at home, the Warriors just could not get it done. Couple of positives, lots of negatives. Going to get to all those in just a minute. But first, if you're a Spotify listener, use Spotify Wrapped to show your top Locked On podcast for the year. Take a screenshot and tag us at Locked On Live and my Twitter handle at CTH415 or Wes's at WC Goldberg on Twitter, and we will share and retweet. Wes, you were at the game as always, which is a game that I deemed disappointing and frustrating. There's going to be plenty of losses along the way this year, but to lose to a team that you match up pretty well against and have a chance to win two in a row and make it three against the Knicks, and you come out the way they did, is pretty disappointing. I know Draymond shared that sentiment after the game. What was the vibe like after the game? We'll work backwards here. How was Draymond and some of the other vets feeling as far as this one went?
Yeah, I think the key there is the vets. And you know, when we talk about the vets, I really just consider it Steve Kerr and Draymond Green, right? Because they're the kind of the institutional guys that have a certain expectation. And this was sort of the game that really just reinforces the fact that this is so new for those guys that, yeah, you know, the messaging and the talk about, you know, positive vibes and moral victories and everything can only go so far. But when it comes to games where they actually feel like they should have won them, and that's really the difference between all these losses that have piled up here, they really didn't have a chance to win a lot of those games. This was a game that they ought to have won. And they felt like they were the better team on the floor tonight, just from a talent perspective, from the fact that they had 12 guys available, and they thought it was in their grasp, and they felt like they didn't compete hard enough, that they let go of the rope. That's one of the terms that was thrown around. And so they were really discouraged by the performance, and you kind of nailed it there. These chances to string together some wins are so few and far between. So when you have an opportunity against Chicago and then Memphis and then on Wednesday the New York Knicks, three of the other bad teams in the league along with the Warriors, like, this is an opportunity to get like that rare second, third consecutive win that's been so elusive for the Warriors all season.
Now, you know, they say it's the first game back after a road trip is tough, which, I don't know, there's a lot of sayings out there. Was there anything pregame that you could kind of tell? Were they a little too loose? You know, was there any reason to think that this would be a tough one for them?
Not really, to be honest. I thought they were pretty confident coming in, too. To me, they just seemed so disjointed when they actually got on the floor. I think there was a lot of things happening. You're right. Like, I think that part is true. The first game back after a road trip is usually pretty tough. But that game was on Friday. They got back early Saturday morning. They had the entire weekend. They didn't do any open practices Saturday or Sunday. So they had some time to rest. They got a guy like Jacob Evans back. They just added D'Angelo Russell and Javon Looney. I think that there was a little bit of disjointedness. There's 10 turnovers in that first half. There's a lot of pointing and sort of frustrating things going on. A lot of passes sailing wide or off target. It just felt like this is the first time that this team had really played together. It's at least what it looked like. And I thought that sort of carried into the second half. Now, they only turned the ball over, I believe, 5 times in the second half. But, you know, I think you got to give Memphis a little bit of credit here for playing good defense. But they just had a really hard time generating any good open shots the entire game. The offense just didn't look like it was in rhythm whatsoever. And I don't think you could really feel that until you get on the court. Sometimes, and that to me is sort of what seemed to be the story there, that they felt confident, that they had all these reasons. Hey, we've got all these healthy guys. We're coming off of a win. We're playing another bad team. We feel like we could do something. And maybe they just got distracted by all these encouraging signs that they forgot to actually execute on the floor, which is exactly what happened.
Yeah. There's definitely a couple negative things I do want to get to, and we will in just a minute. But one of the things I want to do is look at some of the potential positives. When you look at the fact they had 12 active players, Jordan Poole did get his first DNP tonight, which, you know, makes sense. But they did have Amari Spellman and Kai Bowman both play solid in what is more likely going to be their roles moving forward, and especially next year, where Amari Spellman in 15 minutes went 3 of 4 from 3, a couple of rebounds and 10 points, and then Kai Bowman 16 minutes, 3 of 7, 2 of 3 from 3, 4 rebounds and an assist. As great as it's been to see them, you know, get 30 plus minutes and put up good numbers, this is most likely going to be their roles moving forward, especially when guys get healthy. They're going to get 10 to 15 minutes a game, and to see them be productive in those minutes, I think is a small positive that you can take from this game at least.
Yeah, I mean, your role players play good at home, right? That's sort of the idea, and they definitely did. They did play well, and I think that's a good positive. I think if you're the Warriors, I think one of the negatives is that one of your supposed star players just didn't play well, D'Angelo Russell. And I don't know, maybe you can also use that as a positive. Like, he's coming off of 9 games out with a thumb injury that was pretty bothersome for him. Those hand injuries are really hard for scorers like him to come back from. It takes a little bit of time to regain your feel and things like that. And that has been the case in the 3 games since he's come back. But, you know, if you kind of chalk that up to, well, he'll get healthier and get that feel back eventually. And if these young guys could play well at home, and given that they have a nice little stretch here of a bunch of home games, maybe that is encouraging.
I do want to ask you some more questions about D'Angelo Russell and just his night and how it's been a slow return for him from the thumb injury. And we're going to do that in just a minute. So D'Angelo Russell had a pretty bad night. I can't remember maybe one other game like this. He went 6 of 22 from the field, 4 of 10 from 3 for 18 points. And you mentioned it before. It just looks disjointed. It doesn't look natural. And part of it is he's coming off a thumb injury where he missed 9 games. The other part of it is they seem to be running more of that motion movement offense, the Steve Kerr type of offense, instead of just letting D'Angelo Russell cook from, high pick and rolls with Willie Cauley-Stein, et cetera. Do you think, one, the thumb's still affecting him and he's just having trouble adapting to, you know, this offense that isn't exactly catered to him like it was earlier in the year?
I think that's definitely it. And I think we got to look at the reasoning behind that is D'Angelo Russell has missed games with, I think, 3 different injuries at this point. So I think what Steve Kerr decided was that, look, we can't afford to keep switching our offense around when D'Angelo Russell's healthy and when he's injured. And so they found a little bit of a rhythm while Russell was out with that motion offense. They understand that going forward that that's going to be the offense. And if D'Angelo Russell can't fit in that, it doesn't really matter if Steph Curry ever plays this season or not, right? Like, if D'Angelo Russell can't factor in and execute an emotion-based offense, it's not going to suddenly become easier when he has to then share shots with Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson, right? So might as well just throw him into this and see if he can get comfortable. And then eventually if and when he does get comfortable, then you add those layers of Steph Curry and Klay Thompson back into it. To me, that's the reasoning. It doesn't look good a lot of times. It looks a little clunky. But there are flashes, especially when they get out in transition, which was, to me, pretty interesting. I think the 2 best moments of the game for the Warriors were when D'Angelo Russell had that kick ahead to Draymond Green for a layup. It was an incredible pass. I mean, every once in a while, he just does something that blows your mind. And then he had a no-look pass on a fast break that led to a Draymond Green dunk. And those are the kind of things that you want to see, right? That sort of improvisation that the Warriors have been so good at. It's been sort of the brand of their offense over the last 5 or so years. And so if he could start doing those sort of things, then you can see a world where he factors in. And he's basically reprised the Stephen Curry off-ball role alongside Draymond Green. So he's playing a similar role with Steph Curry. It looks similar in that he's running off of screens and kind of cutting baseline, doing all these things. He just needs to execute better and just, quite frankly, he needs to be a little bit more decisive and just make shots. I'm curious if you see this too. He'll come off of a screen, and instead of just taking the shot or come off that screen, grab the ball and just head and dive towards the rim or something, he goes back into this slow methodical pick and roll style play, but he's not in a pick and roll offense, right? He's just acting slowly and indecisive. Are you seeing that too?
Yeah, exactly. It's him waiting for someone to beat, basically, instead of, well, the action has got you open. You know, you're already good. Take the shot. Instead, it's like almost waiting for someone to beat, or, you know, kind of dribbling it out. There is a little hesitation there where it's like, just take the shot, man. Like, you don't have to have a hand in your face to take a good shot. But it's a transition, obviously, and there's factors. But I also do agree with the fact that they should stick to the motion offense, because that's what they're going to be running. I mean, that regardless of what happens this year, that's going to be the offense moving forward. And so it's better for guys who are, you know, the young guys to continue to get reps in that and not in a pick and roll offense that they're not going to be running moving forward. One guy I want to give credit to, because we've definitely pointed out that he's been bad, so I do want to point out when he does well, is Willie Cauley-Stein. Had 17 and 8 tonight on 6 of 9, 5 of 6 from the free throw line. Still some problems defensively. He's still not the banger that you want inside. Still slender, still has his problems, but solid game from him. And then the last one I want to get to is Eric Paschal, 2 of 10 from the field tonight. And something that he's going to have to work on moving forward is he struggles to finish against length. You know, he's still as big and strong as he is, he's still only 6'6". And the Grizzlies start 2 7-footers, and you saw him struggle mightily tonight in that situation. And we also have to remember that he is a rookie second rounder, so, you know, he won't have all the answers immediately. But that's definitely something he's going to have to work on or figure out, I don't know, how to deal with it. I love how fearless he is, but at the same time, you can't just go up against 7-footers all the time when you're, you know, 6'6".
Yeah, and I think the Grizzlies kind of learned their lesson from the last game, because the last time the Warriors, like last time prior to these last Chicago victories, last time the Warriors won was against Memphis. I think the Grizzlies figured out what they needed to do, and they put some length on Eric Paschal. They had Jaren Jackson Jr. guarding him for most of the game, and that definitely bothered him. And that kind of was the story of the night to me offensively, was that they were getting shots, but every time they, like, every shot seems to be a contested, bothered look. They just had a really hard time getting open shots, which is the reason the motion offense exists. We praise Steve Kerr's offense all the time for getting open shots when they shouldn't exist, and they just didn't tonight. Maybe, and look, that's probably just a factor of the fact that these guys haven't played in this offense for that long, and it is a young team, and so you're going to have nights like this. But you're absolutely right with Paschal. He's going to have to learn how to finish over length or find other ways. And I know one of the things he's trying to do is just use his strength, and he's going to have to get Jaren Jackson. He's going to have to learn how to get a 7-footer or a guy bigger than him off of his spot so that he could get into that spot. And that's a really tough thing to learn. First round pick, second round pick, doesn't matter. It's going to take some experience. It's going to take some learning how the officials react and how they're going to blow their whistles against you. Just sort of like that veteran savvy. So I'm sure it'll come with time, but that's like, yeah, he's a second round pick, but the floor is pretty high for him right now. So, you know, these are the things he's going to have to work on.
Definitely. Glenn Robinson also struggled tonight, 2 of 7 from the field. Last time he did something like that, I mean, what, he went 0 of 10, but then bounced back with a 20-point game. So going to be excited to see him play against the Knicks. I mean, I think that pretty much does it for tonight, man. We'll just flush this one, move on to New York on Wednesday. I mean, unless you got any, you know, parting words of wisdom, definitely check out all of Wes's work at the Mercury News.
Nailed it.
Thank you. I'll just leave that in there. I think that's
perfect.
That's a perfect way to end it. Yeah. Check out all of Wes's work at Mercury News, and we'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.